Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, here's one more reason to not believe in modern-day future-predicting prophets. Nobody, that I'm aware of, nobody saw this one coming. But honestly, I think we should have. This is Wretched Radio, the hottest kerfuffle on social media. And believe me, there's plenty of hot kerfuffles on social media. But right now, it's the firestorm over pastors who didn't talk about the Charlie Kirk murder in Sunday service. There are some very loud voices that are drawing a really hard line in the evangelical sand and encouraging folks to abandon their churches if their pastor didn't address the assassination, or if they didn't address it enough, or if it wasn't as strong as they felt it should be. Now, we should have seen this coming, and we should have anticipated there could potentially be a pretty substantial exodus from churches over the Charlie Kirk assassination, because I think the issues lying behind, get ready for this, COVID and Kirk are similar. Obviously, the two events are different, but I think the themes behind each one of the details are identical. The questions of how engaged should a church be in politics? How do we stand against evil and darkness? Now, in the COVID situation, it was the government feeling the encroachment of the government. With Charlie Kirk, it's all of the social and the moral issues and political stuff too. That the church should have a particular posture toward those things, it caused a great deal of division inside of the body during COVID. Now, there were different issues swirling around COVID than the Kirk assassination. Obviously, masks and jabs and quarantining, social distancing. How is COVID even a thing? But I think what's lurking behind COVID and Kirk is the same. Do we submit? Do we resist? Are we passive? Do we stand firm? In other words, the shared theme with COVID and Charlie Kirk is, will you stand strong or will you compromise? Which, by the way, totally valid to consider. And as an aside, just maybe to keep you from being agitated with me at any point in this, although I cannot make that guarantee, because agitating people is a spiritual gift and I exercise it regularly. I'm not talking about any particular situation, nor am I making a commentary on either COVID or Charlie Kirk. That is not my point. We're trying to deal with an issue of voices telling pastors what they should be doing in the pulpit on Sunday morning, and telling people what to do if the pastor doesn't. This is happening a lot, and we need to sort through this. And just to maybe with a bit of a spoiler alert, methinks that there's kind of a solution to this difference of opinion. Now, back to the original diatribe. People left churches during COVID over the mass business, the social distance, all that stuff, whether the church should comply, whether the church should stay closed or open for business. That was, wow, that was hotly debated. But the underlying themes, are you going to stand up or not? Are you conservative? Are you a compromiser? Will you stand firm? Are you going to cave? Will you join the fight? Or are you going to kowtow to ridiculous and inconsistent government rules, which they were, that violate our constitutional right to practice religion as we see fit, which frankly, I think it did. I don't think that people left their church because of COVID per se, because of masks and jabs. It was the stance of the pastor, the elders, and the church, whether they were willing or reticent to stand against bad stuff. Because that's what Charlie Kirk was about, standing against bad stuff. the people who thought the government was overreaching and were encouraging, perhaps even insisting pastors treated a certain way, they were standing against the darkness too. Do you see how they're kind of the same thing with different details? Now, if I could, as yet another aside, I'm not making a blanket statement, taking sides. Because one of my points is going to be every single scenario needs to be weighed on its own merits. I'm just trying to make one simple point, and I might be on the verge, if I haven't already crossed the line, of beating the point to death. COVID was a lightning rod regarding biblical submission, separation of church and state, the issues that we've been debating in the church really for 2,000 years. What is the Christian response when a government appears to go sideways? That is why we should have known people would be leaving churches because of pastors who chose not to speak about Charlie's assassination. Churches that stayed closed during COVID were considered compromised for not opposing an external threat. Similarly, pastors who chose not to preach about an executed man who stood against corrupt government, corrupt morals, they're considered compromised, weak, and just not on the team of resistance to what some would call tyranny or the decay of society. However, that begs, and I'm not talking about Alistair, that begs the question, should Christians leave their church if their pastor didn't speak about Charlie Kirk on Sunday? Now, to sort this, this is an effort to be helpful. I would be entirely hypocritical if I said, this is the way we need to deal with it. Because my point in this is, there's no single individual who gets to pontificate what any local church does. So let's sort through, I think, five issues. And I think it'll help all of us to love one another through this issue and through this season so that we're all biblical. And that's what we want, right? So this is an effort to try to be helpful. And I think you might be surprised where I believe this ultimately leads us. So here we go. Five big questions, five big thoughts. This is an ecclesiology issue. This is all about church theology. What is the church? What are we doing there? What's the point of the Sunday morning service? And now number two flows out of number one, and it's homiletics. What and how a preacher should preach. That's a part of the leave the church over the Kirk assassination conversation. Number three, to what level of theology does this particular dispute rise? That's a big question. What theological issue is a pastor off on if he didn't choose to preach about this on Sunday morning? And just in case you think I'm taking sides or tipping here, I'm not. Just for the record, because it's on the record, I talked about it Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. We talked about it in Sunday school. The pastoral prayer included Charlie Kirk and his family. So just so you know, I'm not trying to jump on one side or the other. I'm trying to maybe in a little teeny tiny degree help us navigate through this, because y'all, we don't need more division, do we? Look, there's a time to fight, but we want to be fighting all the time with one another. Issue number four. What's the role of the shepherd, and how does he shepherd the flock? That's really big. Pastor, what's the pastor's role? How does he help the sheep? And then number five, and this is going to be a kind of a dangling chad. Do you agree with Martin Luther, the reformer? That'll become clear in a moment. So once we work through those questions, then I will share principles for pastors to ponder and an encouragement for a pastor's to consider addressing the issue, and principles for members to consider before they leave their church. And when we're done, I'm confident we'll all be singing worship songs together. Hopefully not that worship song. So let's dive into this, shall we? And let's attempt to do it with a heart trajectory that says, we want fellowship. We want churches to thrive. We want churches to flourish. We want them to stand strong in a community. We want that for the local church. And so if we have this conversation with that desire, that we don't want to hack on each other, because I assure you, for those who are saying, you got to leave the church for the pastor who did not discuss it, there's the ones that didn't discuss it, very possibly saying, those people need to be judged for what they're doing. Well, okay, let's see if we can bridge that gap. And I think we can bridge that gap if we answer the five big questions that I just discussed and determine what the local church is about, what preaching is about, what shepherding is about. Let's see if we can do that amicably, shall we? This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood. Real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Krotz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you've grabbed the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. The book of Daniel is about one man who submits to God above all else and God's faithfulness to his people in all circumstances. Daniel's prophetic visions teach us that God raises up and tears down kingdoms. All earthly kingdoms will pass away, but God will establish an everlasting kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A path forward that leads to unity and no compromise? Can it be? This is Wretched Radio. Hot, 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 hot potato on the internet. should a member of a church depart if the pastor didn't preach on the Charlie Kirk assassination on Sunday? I think that that's a reasonable question to ask, but I believe that there are crucial elements that we need to consider before picking a side or making a decision. And incidentally, as you will see, this is going to help all of us if we're ever pondering, is it time to leave my church? When do you stay? When do you go? And for our purposes, is this one of those issues that should cause you to say, adios, pastor? As mentioned, I think that there are five big ideas that we need to work through that'll bring us, I think, to a really helpful conclusion. First, let's tackle the question about ecclesiology, specifically the Sunday morning service. What's the point of our assembling? Because if you think that the sole purpose of the worship service is to focus on Jesus Christ, which I suspect we tend to agree with, all of us, but imagine a fellow, he's like, that's it. That is all we do on the Sunday morning. It is just a focus on Jesus Christ. Then it's not hard to imagine he's going to have a hard time preaching about Charlie Kirk. But where you stand on what Sunday morning should be about will guide your decision about whether to stay or whether to go. For the people who believe that God moderates the church service with the elements that he wants, that pastor is going to think it is highly inappropriate to distract from that by speaking about a national issue, no matter how important it is to the flock, which, again, I'm going to suggest should be reconsidered. We're just trying to lay this out step by step. So let me put it this way. For the pastor who has a super high view of church and its purpose defined by exclusively focusing on Jesus Christ, that guy will be reticent. Yes, I said reticent, to import anything into the service but God's regulated elements. For those who don't share that same understanding of ecclesiology, they're going to be like, duh, this is a no-brainer. Ask yourself the question, which one of these is sinning? Which one is sinning? That's an important question. The second issue that we need to ponder is preaching. What is it? Every single pastor, whether they're even aware of it or not, they've got a theology or a philosophy of preaching. So for those who believe that expository verse-by-verse preaching is the most biblical way to preach, and I affirm that, that guy's not likely to inject a news story, no matter how impactful it was, no matter how much it affected the sheep. Now, for those who are less rigid in their adherence to expository preaching, and by the way, I'm not as rigid as some on expository preaching. So I get this, but it depends on where you're at on the spectrum of expository preaching. If you don't think expository preaching is good, let's say, well, you're not going to hesitate to bring up a current event. Third consideration, got to determine the level of theology. This is so key. If a man thinks that Charlie's assassination isn't really a theological issue, should we be surprised he doesn't think it rises to the level of interrupting the Sunday service with a news event? So we've got to ask ourselves the question, by the pastor not preaching about it, why is that an offense that some would say demands departure from that church? Fourth, what's the job of the shepherd? There are some who firmly believe that the single best and maybe the only way to shepherd the flock is not through talking through issues, but simply preaching and teaching God's word. They're aware that people, they're hurting, that they're upset, but they're convinced that scripture and preaching are the balm that they need, not a teaching or a commentary on social issues. Okay. If that's your pastor and he feels that way, ask yourself the question, should you be upset with him if he didn't discuss this on Sunday morning, if this was his motivation? Because as we'll discuss, I do believe that there are pastors who are compromising and who are cowardly, but that is not a one-size-fits-all for those who didn't choose to speak about the Kirk event
on Sunday morning. Finally, I think every pastor needs to ponder a statement from Martin Luther. So those who disagree with Martin will not be moved to preach about any current topic. Here's the quote, which I'll tip my hand. I affirmed this. Expository preaching, verse by verse, but, said Luther, if I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I'm not confessing Christ. However boldly I may be professing Christ, where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved, and to be steady on all the battlefield besides is mere fight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. Now, we're not going to exegete Martin Luther because that was probably not even a direct quote, but more of a compilation that was attributed to him based on his teaching. And he may have been focusing more on theological wars as opposed to the pastor who doesn't want to address current issues for the sake of the sheep who are hurting. But I think the principle is there. For the shepherd, when you see that the sheep are either scattering, getting devoured, they're limping and hurting, should or should the shepherd not try to apply directly scripture to their troubling? I think that every pastor needs to answer that. To those who don't want to talk about those issues, I would encourage you, are you sure you want to be as rigidly constrained by expository preaching that you can never address an issue in the church? And now look, which issue it is that you talk about, which you don't. I get it. There's plenty of room to debate on that. But if the shepherd is to take care of the sheep, shouldn't that include taking care of them from the centerpiece of the life of the church, which is the pulpit? I'm asking. I'm not telling. I'm asking because I'm kind of a fan of the autonomy of the local church. I'm not going to tell you what to do, Pastor. It is between you and the Lord. You've got other elders. You sort it in your circumstances, because you know what I don't know? I don't know what's going on in the life of your church. I don't know what's going on in your heart. And that is why I think both sides, we kind of need to like work through this less emotionally and really more theologically. So now to those who want to cancel, I think you need to do some work before you skedaddle from your church because the pastor didn't preach or dedicate time to Charlie in the service. I think the question you need to answer is why? Why did he choose to not include Charlie on Sunday? Is it because he's a coward? Is he a compromiser? Okay, you might have grounds to go, maybe. But before you do, you need to spend time with him to try and encourage and teach him in that direction. Furthermore, might I say to those who are loudly calling for pastors to step down from the pulpit because they didn't preach on this subject, what if it's a decade from now and that pastor looks back and goes, you know, I blew it. I should have talked about that issue. Can a pastor make a mistake? That brings us to the issue of what level of theology does this rise? If you conclude that your pastor is compromised to such a degree that you cannot stay under his authority, then talk to him. Consult with other wise believers without turning it into gossip so you can make a biblical and wise decision for you and your family. Remember, you committed to that church when you became a member. Probably took some sort of covenantal vow. You should never leave a church quickly because of one Sunday morning service. Having said that, if your pastor didn't dedicate time to Charlie because of his convictions on the five issues we discussed, is it right to leave a man because he thinks the church is for Jesus Christ only? Or the preaching should be explicitly and exclusively biblical? Or that this issue doesn't hit a sufficient theological target? Or that the sheep are ministered best through the preaching of the word? When you kind of frame it like that, it's like, Why would you want to leave a pastor who holds those convictions, even if you disagree with them? We need to remember we're breathing cultural air. These issues are hot. I get it. I get what's going on with the Charlie Kirk assassination. We've spent plenty of time talking about it here. I get it. But we can't make church decisions, theological decisions, and unity decisions without recognizing, okay, am I being stoked here? Am I because in Peru, they're not having this conversation about whether to leave a church about Charlie Kirk because it's not a big issue for them, but it is here. In other words, we need to remember we're breathing cultural air. Maybe, just maybe, if we work through this with these five principles in mind, maybe we'll have pastors that reconsider their stand, and maybe we'll have some voices turn down the volume demanding their removal from the pulpit. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. You know, sometimes reality has a way of breaking through even the thickest ideological fog. Sometimes, but it does happen. Take, for instance, Hawaii Senator Mazie Hirono. Yeah, the same senator who has spent years pushing men into women's sports, but suddenly she's discovered physical differences between men and women. That is when FBI Director Kash Patel told her agents need to do one pull-up. Just one. She complained that women can't do pull-ups because of biological differences. That's right, the very same differences that she denies exist when teenage boys are crushing girls on the track field. Apparently, physics matter when it's FBI fitness tests, but not when it's your daughter's volleyball scholarship. And speaking of protecting what matters, President Donald Trump has sent a cavalry to the city of Memphis with a crime-fighting task force modeled after the successful D.C. cleanup. Governor Bill Lee asked for help, and Trump is delivering. National Guard, FBI, DEA, the works. And Senator Marsha Blackburn reports they've already made 500 arrests through Operation Viper, giving Memphis its best crime stats in years. And speaking of criminals getting what they deserve, the DOJ just stripped citizenship from Salvador-born Jorge Graciano Lara, who repeatedly raped his own stepdaughter for 4 years while lying about it to get his papers. He threatened the child that if she spoke up, the family would be deported. Attorney General Pam Bondi called American citizenship a sacred privilege that this monster should never have obtained. Meanwhile, in Dearborn, Michigan, the Muslim-majority city's mayor, Abdullah Hamad, I hope I said that right, told a Christian resident recently that he's not welcome there. The Christians crying? Questioning the city's plan to honor a journalist who praised Hezbollah terrorists and threatened to send Israeli Jews back to Poland. A Christian taxpayer gets told he's unwelcome in his own city for opposing terrorist supporters. Well, the latest insanity coming from the state of California, Assembly Bill 260, which lets abortion doctors ship chemical abortion drugs into pro-life states with zero accountability. No names on prescriptions, no addresses, nothing traceable. Meanwhile, these drugs, they cause serious problems in over 10% of women, 22 times higher than what the FDA has claimed. In lighter news, President Trump announced a TikTok deal, keeping the Chinese spy app, social media platform, operating under U.S. ownership. Parents apparently begged him to save it for their kids. The Chinese get their money, and 170 million Americans get to keep their digital drug dealer. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Higgs. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration, the spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, He has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Should you stay or should you go? Friel, don't ever do that again. Okay. This is Wretched Radio, the internet conversation that's boiling right now, which, by the way, there are very few internet conversations that should be boiling. Might I suggest to you as a rule, if you find yourself seeing those things happening where it's like hot, 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 and some severe language, might want to think about like removing yourself from that, because that's just not the way we should be dealing with these issues. There's a way to stand firm without being angry at the opponent. There is a way to do that. Speaking truth in love, truth and grace, they must both exist. So if you're finding yourself out in the internet world, being embroiled in these conversations, being worked up by them because they're really like, yeah, these people, they gotta, might not be the healthiest place to listen to a Christian disagreement. The question, though, is valid because the Charlie Kirk assassination was a big deal. It is a big deal. It represents a lot. And there are very few people that didn't feel it. And a pastor has a decision to make. Does this issue rise to the level of addressing it, or does his church theology, his ecclesiology, and his understanding of homiletics, how he should be preaching, dictate, no, I know it's a big deal, but I just can't bring that in. And this is a perennial situation because these types of things keep happening. Okay, so let's just go back historically for a moment. It's World War II. The A-bomb drops. Kind of a big deal. Should a pastor address it from the pulpit? Now, I would suggest you, I personally think, if his sheep are struggling with it, confused by it, need comfort because of it, I believe that an expository sermon, even if it's in part or in whole, can be set aside so that the pastor can shepherd the herding sheep. Now, that's what I think. All right. There's going to be different pastors that disagree. So you got to weigh these issues. And some people are going to have a different scale than others. The question is it sufficient cause to call for people to leave a church that doesn't address a really big issue? And so I think it's right. And if you look back in Wretched, we'll go back into our archives. We have talked about the subject dozens of times. The question is, should you stay or should you go? Should you be one who works through it, or should you take the time to sort through it? I wonder what Phil Johnson would say about this.
My pastor appears to be kind of becoming pragmatic, seeker sensitive. Okay, maybe not that bonkers, but you know, he's lost the suit and tie. He had a lot of hair gel, a lot of product going on there. We're showing movie theater clips. He's not really saying anything wrong. Do I leave the church?
No, I wouldn't necessarily. That wouldn't be my first step to leave the church.
Okay.
I might. I mean, what you're describing there does suggest an appalling sort of philosophy of ministry and a direction that I wouldn't want to pursue. And so in the end, yeah, I might leave the church, but that wouldn't be my first step. My first step would be to go to him and say, look, I'm concerned, and give him biblical reasons why this is a concern. And I wouldn't just say, well, you put too much product in your hair. That's not a good reason to leave the church. But if the product in his hair was something he himself had emphasized and, you know, made a big deal out of or whatever, then I would ask him, what's the motive behind that? What are you thinking about that? Why do you think that somehow enhances your ministry? What do you expect your ministry to be? What does hair product have to do one way or the other with edification and teaching and the things that God has called you as a pastor to do to shepherd the flock of God?
Does that surprise you? That when you see an issue, first response should not be to depart. Now, I know the issue of hair gel on a pastor and preaching about Charlie Kirk aren't exactly the same. But I think what Phil is saying to us is don't just respond to this thing. You've got to spend time with the pastor talking through it. And by the way, it must be done deferentially. You say, well, why should I have a conversation with him if he just gets to decide what's, you know, who's right and who's wrong? Because that's his role. He's an authority. And so when we approach the pastor on these issues, you don't need to kiss a ring, but we need to remember that God has placed them there to shepherd you. And he does have some authority in your life based on biblical definitions. The Bible draws those boundaries because the pastor has no authority in and of himself, only as he represents and applies the Bible to your life. So when you talk to him, hey, pastor, just exactly what Phil was saying. Tell me, how do you, why didn't you preach about Charlie Kirk? I'm just wondering, a lot of people did, you didn't. How come? And what if, what, I mean, imagine if you just left the church and the guy goes, well, you know what? I know. I had the sermon in the can and there's an issue in the church that I'm dealing with. And I didn't want to distract from that, but my plan is to do it next week. And you would have left because he was delaying a week because he knows stuff that we don't know. So before you go, please talk to your pastor. And I would say to those who threw down the gauntlet and encouraged people to leave immediately over this, I would encourage you to consider a number of things. One, the autonomy of the local church. I don't have authority over any church. I have no right or business to tell a guy what to preach on Sunday morning. Now, can I express I have a theological disagreement? Absolutely. Can I tell people in his flock what to do? Especially with, now there's times when you actually could, you know, somebody comes to you and it's like, hey, what do you think I should do in this situation? Because you know the details. But to make a generalized statement, any pastor who did not preach on this subject on Sunday is not fit for ministry. I think you're overstepping. I think you're overstepping. I'd also ask you to consider the life of that church. What does your dictate do to the health of that body? Third consideration, what about the man himself? It's very easy to talk about a group of people and fail to remember that it's actual individuals that we're talking about. This guy has probably sacrificed a lot to be in pastoral ministry. He loves his sheep. He's striving to do his best. He prays over being a fit elder. So when a YouTuber comes along and makes a proclamation, this guy isn't fit, oof, 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 oof. Now, having said that, could this be the straw that breaks your back? And the answer to that is a definitive maybe. But it's got to be a cautious maybe. If the Charlie issue is your only complaint, I don't think you have sufficient grounds to go. But if this is bugging you, you need to go talk to them. And if you discover, you know what, this is deeper, it's more systemic, there are other things going on here, and there are other issues of significance, then this might be a big enough reason because it's a part of a larger problem. Now, you might be asking, so what are valid reasons to leave your church? Glad you asked. I spent time talking to a pastor, author, radio guy, Mike Fabares. Good pastor, Orange County, Compass Bible. And I'm going to share with you that conversation at the end of this diatribe because I think it'll help you make wise decisions about staying or leaving a church. But before that, let me try to find a path and share my personal and always 100% correct opinion about preachers who won't preach on current events. And I say it's 100% correct because I am a talk show host. So let me share my opinion about the pastors who won't and those who abandon their churches because they won't. So let's start with the pastor. If you refuse to ever incorporate current events into your service, I would simply try to encourage you to consider some things. I love a high view of expository preaching, Christ-centered services. I'm there with you, brother, but let me just try to reason with you that it isn't only okay to sometimes preach on something else when needed, but even how you might be able to do that without violating your conscience. Because there's different ways of doing this. I do think that some events are so impactful on the body. The shepherd who wants to help heal and guide his flock should not ignore that pain. I think the pulpit, if we believe that the pulpit drives the church and is the balm that they need, Well, then we should be applying it directly when there is some sort of national calamity that's affecting everybody. Do you need to address every situation around the world? Of course not. But when a tragedy hits home or close to home, and the majority of her sheep are hurt or frightened, I believe that is sufficient reason to find a way to address it on Sunday. In other words, I side with Luther on this. I think you can. Now, for the pastor, how can you do that? Next on Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription, no hidden fees, just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Come, let us reason together. Lovingly, this is Wretched Radio. The Charlie Kirk assassination has had a ripple effect. I think we should have anticipated this would happen. Loud voices, and they're loud. I don't mean that they're wrong just because of their volume. I'm just saying they're quite strong in their opinion. The pastors who didn't preach about Charlie Kirk on Sunday, they should be abandoned. You should leave that church. Woofta, that's a big proclamation. And we've been trying to make our way through the issue by discussing five big ideas, five principles that I think guide us through that. And now we're talking to the pastor who is not willing to talk about any current event because of their principles. I honor that. I respect that. But I believe personally there are times when it is perfectly fine for a pastor to engage in an issue because it is so impacting the sheep. And for those pastors that struggle with, let me suggest, there are three ways you can include current events without taking the spotlight off of Jesus, which is where the spotlight must always be. First, you could just prepare remarks before you begin your text. So the service has happened, time for you to preach. Before you jump into the text, you could address it. I saw, for instance, Johnny Artavanis do just that and do it very well. He addressed the needs of the sheep as a shepherd. I think he had 11 responses to the Charlie Kirk assassination. And then he moved into his text and began the sermon, if you will. Others, like me at Alpharetta Bible Church, we use the text to comment when appropriate. My text providentially lent itself to that, so I could. Now, do I think an entire sermon should be dedicated to anyone other than Jesus? I'm not comfortable with that, but I do think that if you dedicated an entire sermon going away from your text for the week, then it should be about the hurt and the needs of the people, not the event itself and turning it into a commentary on social issues, but in order to minister to the people who are struggling. So I think that you can weave it in without totally setting aside your text. Should you choose to set aside your text, and some guys did, they chose to, I would say to you, was Jesus still the center of it? Were the needs of your people being addressed? Or did it sound like, well, just a commentary that you might catch on YouTube or on Fox News? Now, if that didn't persuade you, Pastor, there's some other alternative ways of shepherding your sheep that I don't think will compromise your ecclesiology and your homiletics. You could consider talking about this before the service begins, however many minutes. Start early. Take out maybe a stanza of a hymn. I know that might hurt you, but and take that time to talk about this before the service begins. You could also invite people to stick around after the service to see if they, hey, do you want to talk about this? We're here. We're going to talk about it. Now, there might be, I don't know how many people, what percentage might just say, let's go to brunch, honey. Cracker Barrel's waiting. Do we go to Cracker Barrel? I can't remember anymore. They're not interested in it. So they're dismissed from it. And those who really want to talk about it will really stay. You could even, here's another alternative, call your church together. If you think the event is that impactful, hey, I think this happened on a Wednesday. Was it Wednesday last week? Hey, everybody, email. We're meeting tonight at the church. Come join us. Let's work through this issue together, body of Christ. That's an alternative. I think those should be considered by you. I can't mandate that. If I did, I would encourage you to tell me, step off, pal, step off, because I have no authority over another man in what he does in the pulpit. I would simply ask you to consider it. And finally, to those who have decided to leave because your pastor chose not to preach on this, please don't run out the door. Please show up on Sunday. I'm assuming this guy's a faithful shepherd and there are no other substantial issues in your church. So please don't go. Calm your heart. Pray about it. Consider the totality of his ministry. Think about all the people that you would be leaving. Get your thoughts together and then approach him to spend some time talking about it, not in an adversarial way, but to do it in a way that seeks his best and the best of the body. Take him to lunch or coffee and then ask him questions. So, Pastor, this is what I wanted to ask you about. How come you didn't address this issue on Sunday? I'd love to know your thinking on that. That's what we should be doing all the time. There's time to leave churches. We'll define those. We've got a video posted of me talking about this with Mike Fabares. There's times to do that. I get that, but not all the time. And these days, the tendency is we leave sooner rather than later. I would encourage you, if you leave without talking to your godly shepherd, without knowing why they did what they did, you're going to break his heart. And I think you're going to be wounding the body and yourself. Please don't run out the door. If you would like a more thorough treatment, or should I stay or should I go now? We've got a ton of videos. I'll just go to the YouTube machine, type in wretched, leave a church. Because, okay, I happen to have that queued up providentially. So I typed in wretched, leave church. Should you leave your church? That was from 4 years ago. When to stay and when to flee your church? That was 2 years ago. My conversation with Phil. Sorry, my eyes are a little, I don't have my glass. 11 years ago. When should I leave my church? Here's one with Vodi from 12 years ago. This is when you should leave your church. All right. The point, oh, here's another one. Sorry, some cowboy show got inserted into that. What are those cowboy people doing in the wretched leave your church thing? Is it time to leave your church? That was from 9 years ago. This is how you're supposed to, oh, that's a different Vodi thing. Why you should not leave the church. That was done 3 years ago. Why so many people leave their church? 6 years ago. There are some churches you need, all caps, we were yelling. There are some churches you need to leave. Here's how to know if yours is one. Okay, so go to the YouTube machine. And this is, I think, a subject that we all do well to ponder, especially before you hit the bumps that certainly every church experiences. We need to be big thinkers on this subject. I have a tendency to get pretty my guts just, oh, that's it. You said that or did this or whatever. Why didn't they? And I don't think that we should be that way. I think we need to be more thoughtful, more slow. And if I might, perhaps an encouragement for how we view pastors. You say, I'm taking sides. No, I'm trying not to. The whole point of this is I'm not taking sides. I've already tried to encourage pastors who just feel uncomfortable preaching about social issues or current events from their pulpit. I've already tried to encourage them without telling them. I've also tried to encourage those who are being pretty demanding about this to maybe reconsider your position. Because the pastor, you should try to someday be a fly on the wall with a group of pastors who get together, especially those that maybe know each other, have a history, and listen to their hearts. Do you know what they talk about when they're getting together? They're talking about you, and not in a gossipy kind of way. They want good. Again, I'm not talking about every pastor. I'm talking about the good guys that are just faithfully preaching. Whatever level you think they're preaching is at, they're faithfully handling the text. They're desiring for the sheep to be well fed. You got a good church. And we need to honor these men and the autonomy of the local church. So all that to say, maybe we need to let the culture stop dictating some of the opinions that we have and expressing them as quickly as we do. Jimmy?
Yes?
You got anything to add to this?
Absolutely nothing. The only thing I would say was just to reiterate what you've said all along. You might leave, but it's got to be a super slow decision.
Yeah, these guys are laboring through, and it does hurt the church. Now, I get it. You have to protect your family. That's why we provided all these video links, or you can go find all these video links at YouTube. Work through it, because as you heard in some of these descriptors, there are some churches you need to leave. You know, so there are some heretical churches, wacky prosperity NAR churches. I'm talking about the good guys who are being faithful. Please honor that man. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.